and overcame death and rose again. And really, that's kind of what I want us to look at this morning. The fact that we have a Savior who lives. Not a Savior who died. Not a Savior who is mythological, such as those in the Greco-Roman era. Not a Savior like what we would have, or a God such as you would have seen in the lands of Egypt. Gods who were fashioned out of gold or wood or bronze. But we have a God who came and did not even consider it something for us to be grasped. And so he came in the form of man to live among us so that we too might understand and know of his importance. So that we too might understand and know how it is to overcome sin. For you see, this God who became man, this Messiah, this Jesus, died for each and every one of us. And the scripture says he rose again so that we too could have life. And so that's where the scripture reading comes from, is out of the book of Ephesians, as Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in chapter 1. I'm over here messing y'all up. Did I mess everybody up? I did. Sorry about that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as of the mighty strength he exerted. For he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, and he seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fits all in all. You see, we have a Savior who Paul writes about here. And he says, I want you, those who are in Christ, those who are Christians, you who are in the body of Christ in Ephesus, I want you to understand this. That this life that you have is in the same comparison as this raising our Messiah from the dead. It is important to understand. And it's important to wrap your mind around that we have a Savior who lives. We have a Savior who wasn't to be ignored. But most of all, we have a Savior who brings us good news. And what is this good news, one would ask? What is so good and glorious news about an arrest of a man who proclaimed to be God? What is so good and glorious about someone being put to death and hung in one of the most miserable ways that is possible, you may ask? Well, you see, what's so good and glorious about it is that he died for me and he died for you. He died for each and every one of us, not just to die, but he died to show us that you can overcome death. And through his blood, we too can overcome death. Now, that's something to think about. For it's not a physical death that we're overcoming. No, it's interesting to think. But in a way, it might be. But it is a death that each and every one of us will have to deal with. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, brothers of the gospel I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised, and that on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace toward me, it was not made in vain. On the contrary," he says, "I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." You see, this is the gospel, and it's the gospel, the good news of Christ, that Christ, he says, died according to the scriptures, was buried according to the scriptures, and rose again according to what had already been foretold. He said, this is what is of utmost importance. But not only that he was seen of men, so that one can't say, well, someone just took the body out of the grave. No, we can't say that. And the reason we cannot say that is this: there are too many witnesses. Oh, God, in his infinite understanding of mankind, saw fit for us to understand that we needed to know that the Messiah did come, and he did live a life, a perfect life for each and every one of us. To be a lamb who was slaughtered, not because I can be perfect, but because I am not perfect, and not because you can be perfect, but because you are not perfect. We as humans make mistakes, and God knows that. And God knew that from the beginning of time. And as one teacher many years ago said, he said, there is a scheme, a red scarlet thread that runs from the very beginning of the book of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. He said, it is the scheme of redemption, and it is the understanding that God knew we needed to be redeemed. And he knew we needed a Savior to overcome death. He knew it from the very beginning. Before Adam was even created, God knew this. And he set forth plans in motion for this to happen. And he knew in his infinite wisdom that man couldn't fathom the need of a Savior. And so he had to show him that. And oh, did he ever show us. Through the ages of the patriarchs, the lives of the Israelites in captivity, as they wandered through the desert for 40 years before they ever enter into the promised land, and as they go into the promised land, as the nation of Israel follows God and then rejects God and then follows God again and then rejects God again, God knew that man needed a Savior. But he also knew that we could not wrap our heads around the need for a Savior until we showed ourselves the fact that we cannot be perfect enough to live without one. And so it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. You see, when the time was exactly right, God sent forth his Son, the Messiah, Jesus. so that we too can have victory over death. Oh yeah. So we have the gospel, the good news, but we also have something beyond that. We have victory over death. Oh, and victory over death is something to behold. This is something for us to think about. Some of us who are younger, we probably don't always want to think about death. We've still got some years to live, we hope. We pray. But as you get older, you start thinking more and more about your life and how you've lived it. The reality is each and every one of us should be thinking about the life that we live. And we should be thinking about the life that God has put forth for us to live. And that if we are living our lives in Christ, we too have victory. And it's the same victory that Jesus had, that victory over sin and over death. And so this physical death that's at the end of one's life shouldn't scare us. It should actually encourage us. And maybe that helps us to understand why Paul would say later on in one of his letters, for me to die is gain, right? To live is life, but he said, to die, it's gain. I understand why I need to keep living. But when I die, I gain a victory. For you see, we have victory over death. In John chapter 11, verse 25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am that resurrection and that life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or chapter 15, verse 54 through 57. It says, and when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For you see, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you see, we are to be a people who have victory. We have victory over death. And the reason we have victory over death is because we are no longer living for sin if we are in Christ. You see, if we have been buried with Christ, if we have been washed and cleansed and made whole, we are no longer living to sin, for we are dead to sin. We are now alive to God. And if we are alive to God, then death no longer holds victory over us. And the fear of death no longer should hold victory over us. Because you see, we have a victory that is far greater than could ever be imagined. For Peter writes in chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, for Christ also suffered once for sins and righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. We ought to read that again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. You see, the reason Jesus died on the cross wasn't because of a bunch of thieves, a bunch of liars, and a bunch of scoundrels who decided, hey, he needed to die. You see, God in his infinite mercy, his infinite wisdom from the beginning of time, knew that that death had to take place. That's why Jesus in the garden was praying, God, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. He knew what was about to take place. He knew his entire life what would take place. But he also knew the pain and the sorrow that it would bring. But for those of you who understand physical fitness, we understand sometimes a little pain has to come before what? A little gain happens, right? I don't look like an athlete anymore, but boy, I do understand that pain still today, because I've decided over the last couple months I've got to get back in shape. I've let myself go way too long and started putting some miles down on the feet, and man, the feet hurt. As you start working out, working the upper body out, man, my arms hurt. And then I got up this morning and I put the suit on, which I haven't worn since January, and I'm like, I got a problem. And it's not a bad problem. But it's that pain, okay, I can see some gain to it. The pain of death, though, and the death that Jesus had to go through for us and for this victory makes that pale in comparison. We understand the little bit of physical pain, but do we understand what he gave for us in his sacrifice? Paul, writing to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 10, says, For the death he died to sin. Once for all, but the life he lives to God. You see, Jesus only needed to die that once, and he only needed to die once for all. But you see, it just wasn't that death that was so important. It was the fact that he rose again, overcoming sin and death with life and victory. You see, that's where we are today. We now have that ability to know who Christ is. We have that ability to be with Christ. And yet, we still have so many who say, but I don't get it, I don't grasp it. You know, how could this person really live and die and come back to life? And is there really any proof? And well, yeah, we see all these people who saw him, but is there any proof? And oh, you know, that's exactly the reason we have the story of Thomas. Do y'all ever realize that? Thomas is that proof. God knew Thomas needed to be an apostle. He knew that Thomas was like so many of us who needed to touch, to taste, to feel, to be convinced. And so as we look at this subject that Jesus lives, he lives, we need to understand we have a Lord and God who overcame sin and death for us. For as Thomas says, my Lord and my God. In John chapter 20 and verse 24 through 29, it says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So that the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in my hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands in his side, I won't believe. So you see, Thomas isn't like many of us, is he? God knew that. God understood, and he knew that we would have a hard time grasping that his son overcame sin and death for us. And that's why he gave so many different witnesses for us to know that he lives. And that is why it was so important for Paul to mention to the church in Ephesus. And it was so important for Paul to mention to the church in Rome. And it was so important for him to mention to the church in Corinth. That Jesus died and he died for us, and this was according to the scriptures. And so then we get to verse 25, and oh, verse 25, it's important. It says, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I'll not believe. And then verse 26, and a week later the disciples were in the house and again, and Thomas was with them. And though the door was locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And I have got to to find out what the reaction was at that time. Have you ever been startled? That would be a that would be a moment where you gotta wonder if he just sent everybody to the cardiologist really quickly. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it here in my side. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe. Thomas, take hold. Touch, feel, know that I am real, that I am risen. And I love Thomas's response. I wonder if Thomas actually touched him, or he just fell out. Because his response tells me he just fell over. This is, Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Never called Thomas an unbeliever. Never called Thomas and said anything wrong about it. But he said, blessed are those who don't need this. But yet we see that God knows what we need. He lives, and he wanted Thomas to know, I'm alive again. And Thomas's response should shake the world. My Lord and my God, now I believe. Now I believe. For you see, there is no doubt. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We know that he is living whatever men may say. For you see, he lives. Seen by multitudes, by the apostles, by the women who were closest to him. Touched, felt. We know him. He lives. This morning, maybe you're here. Maybe you've not put Christ on. You've lived a life that, yeah, I know God, and yeah, I know Jesus is important. What stops you then from being buried with Christ, putting him on, saying, yes, I too believe. I want to die to sin. I want to give up. I'm ready to be buried with Christ, to be washed, to be made clean, to put Christ on. What stops you? Maybe you just have been struggling. And you need prayers of the church. You need prayers of encouragement. Prayers of healing. Would you come as we stand?
Jesus, you were all to me. Why did you?